This is Anishinaabe Way, lives, words, and stories of Ojibwe people.
I'm Christine Stark, Cherokee and Anishinaabe.
And you're one of a number of people who worked on a report called Garden of Truth, the Prostitution and Trafficking of Native Women in Minnesota. I know a lot of people are somewhat shocked when they learn the extent of prostitution and trafficking in and around Duluth, and actually including on ore boats.
For the Garden of Truth, we interviewed one woman who had been used out on the ships, and I wanted to gather more information about that. So I started my own very small project called Gathering Our Stories, the Prostitution and Trafficking of Native Women on the Duluth Ships. I talked with one woman who, an Anishinaabe woman, who ran away from her home at 12 and was being used in a brothel in Thunder Bay. And a ship captain found her in the brothel, quote unquote, liked her, and took her on his ship down into Duluth. And then she ended up, being trafficked on those ships and in some sites in Duluth and back in Thunder Bay. So we have a trafficking path between Canada and the Duluth area. The vast majority of the people who were targeted to be brought out onto the boats and trafficked onto the boats were Native women and Native teenage girls. However, I've also spoken to people who talked about babies being brought out onto the ships, and then younger boys and girls. So it's really, in some ways, kind of a free-for-all in that sense, that whatever it was that the men coming in on those ships wanted, that system in the Duluth Superior area would provide for them.
And so we're talking about really institutionalized prostitution that is enabled by institutional racism on a historic level.
Absolutely. They're inseparable. That is what makes women of color, and particularly Native women in the United States, and we see it in Canada as well, huge numbers of Native women and youth being used in prostitution and trafficking, and then the numbers up there between 600 and 900 missing and murdered Indigenous women over the last 30 years. So, you know, we see all of these issues coming together and targeting particularly Native women, but also Native youth as well.
One of the women in the report actually says, historically, the government itself
is a pimp.
Yeah.
I guess what that makes me think of is the collusion between, you know, the government, churches, in particular, and businesses, really, in the attempted genocide of Native people, right? I mean, we're talking about loss of land being put on reservations, bounties being paid if you bring back the scalp of a Native person in the 1800s. Here in Minnesota, $200 were paid out for that. And so you have this tremendous disruption and dislocation in Native communities, and you have a 90% loss of population through disease, murder, and so on. And you have the boarding schools on top of that, you know, where the children were taken away from their families, weren't able to speak their language, have connections with their culture, were physically and sexually abused. And in Canada, they've uncovered evidence of churches, government, and businessmen trafficking, prostituting Native First Nation children out of these boarding schools. So we have that connection there as well. So you have this kind of unfathomable, what feels like an indescribable assault against Native people. And then when you also consider that the amount of sexual violence that the women we interviewed experienced as children. You know, I think it was like 79% had been sexually abused as a girl by an average of four perpetrators. So what does that do to a four-year-old?
What is being done on a culturally competent level to help the victims of trafficking and prostitution?
You know, one of the things that we heard from the women repeatedly was the amount of shame that they felt about themselves, often blaming themselves for the situation, and wanting very, very much to return to the Native community and to dance in powwows and, you know, participate in other traditional activities. And one of the things that, you know, we can do is like the honoring sex trafficking, feast that we had. That was a really powerful experience for the Native community, men and women, to stand up and say, we honor you, we don't blame you, we don't shame you, we want you back in our circle.
The women had the choice of self-identifying, tribal affiliation, tribal status. Many of them did. And some of our listeners might be surprised to learn that women from Grand Portage are included in the study.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the women that I talked to up in Duluth, actually many of the women I talked to up in Duluth, would say, I want to get out and I want to become a social worker. I want to become a nurse so that I can help other women who are in prostitution. And it's such a huge point to bring forward. Not only are the women and kids who are being used in prostitution being hurt a lot, you know, psychologically, spiritually, physically, sexually, and so on, but the rest of us, you know, particularly in the Native community, but also in the, you know, broader community as well, we don't have these people in our communities living their lives and bringing their gifts to us. And to what they have to offer the rest of us, we are lacking that. And they have barriers that are keeping them from achieving that. And it's up to us to make those changes so that the women can do what they want to do with their lives.
This is Anishinaabe Way, Lives, Words, and Stories of Ojibwe People, a series produced by Stacy Droulard with music by Keith Sekola. Funding for the series comes from the Minnesota Legacy Fund and WTIP Community Radio.